It is time now for Talking Books. We are joined in the studio by the one and only Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library, chapelhillpubliclibrary.org, and the Chapel Hill Community Arts and Culture Department, chapelhillarts.org. Heading into this Thanksgiving weekend, how are you?
I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
I'm ready for all the, well, I don't really care about the turkey, but I'm ready for the sides. I am here for all the sides. And I don't really care about the desserts either.
What is your favorite side?
I'm a stuffing person.
Okay,
and my
that's good.
Mom makes it the way my grandmother made it, which is like stuffing balls, which is, might be kind of a country thing.
Okay.
You like form the stuffing into little balls, and then you bake them, and you eat them, and then when they're cold, you can just pop them in your mouth from the fridge.
Like that.
And it's delicious.
So you're not like putting them in the turkey, like stuffing the turkey with it, like you're making them separate. Yeah.
No. There's two kinds of people in this world, Aaron. Those who stuff the turkey and those who don't. We do not.
I'm totally fine with that.
And then 1 year, I think, this might have been me. 1 year, like, we experimented with the stuffing.
Oh,
that was a dark,
never
dark
experiment
year.
With exactly. anything on Thanksgiving. It's tradition meal.
We put, like, oysters and pecans
no.
in it and maybe, like, a cranberry. And we're all like, oh, no, never again.
One cranberry goes in all. Whoever finds the cranberry is the king of Thanksgiving and has to make the meal next year.
Or it's like the princess and the pea. Like, that yes. one cranberry
yeah.
caused
like,
all of that
pain.
This
tastes weird. Yeah. Was it
what
the
about
oysters?
You?
No. Favorite side, mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
I think.
Okay.
Mashed potatoes, and if the proportions are right, green bean casserole. Like you can overdo it on the mushroom soup or underdo it on the onion crunch if it's
I'm
all together.
Squarely in the I'm anti green bean casserole. I just want some green beans.
It's funny because earlier this week I went on the record saying I don't like green beans, but I do like canned green beans, and that's what
I
you put in the casserole.
You
yeah.
About that. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't like green beans, but you mix it with cream of mushroom soup and put those little like salty
French
onion chunks on top.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
okay.
good. I
all
like
right.
it.
So real quick though, mashed potatoes, lumpy or smooth?
Smooth, but lumpy's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm lumpy. With skin on, lumpy, kind of rustic. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good.
So this is Talkin' Sides with Susan Brown, brought to you this week by Thanksgiving.
By the Stovetop Corporation. Stuffing balls for all. Cool. So we're talking books, and we had the idea at the end of our conversation last week to do this. I just got done reading this, like, nerdy Aaron, 700-page tome that's been sitting on my desk for, I think, 2 years waiting for me to read it. And I've talked about it in the past, and I finally got around to reading it. It's, a huge book about the history of African-American political thought. Really, really dense. I wouldn't recommend it for just, like, casual light reading, but super, super, like, insightful. I learned a lot about all of these great thinkers. But the other interesting and fun and also kind of irritating thing about this book is as soon as I'm done reading it, now I want to go and read like this book by this author and this book by this author and like all of these great political thinkers. Now I want to go and read all of their stuff. So now I've got an even larger stack on my shelf of library books from all of these folks to read. But with that in mind, sometimes you read a book and it opens the door up to other books. Like you get recommendations or you get like inspired to read other books just from reading this one. So what's a book that you can recommend that's opened up your door to other books that you also love?
So I thought this was a super cool topic, but I first of all want to say Nerdy Aaron is my favorite Aaron of all the Aarons.
That's good because
that
you
there
get them a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And thinking about Thanksgiving, there's that thing in turkey that makes you sleepy. I feel like speaking for myself, because we sometimes have very different reading tastes,
right.
I feel like many of the books on your bookshelf would induce that same feeling in me.
Yeah, I've got a whole tryptophan shelf.
Exactly. A 600-page tome by page six. I'm just out with the book, asleep with the book on my face, but it's a really heavy book. Anyways,
and another thing about the Malaysian stock market is that it's fascinating for these reasons.
Sorry. So, okay, focus, Susan Brown. Books that led me to other books. So the first one that I mentioned, I'm actually going to mention two books by the same author.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So the first book that I read by Donna Tartt was The Secret History. And that was sort of for like this kind of book with this cult following. It's this dark academic novel. It's set on a sort of small college campus in Vermont. It, like the first page there's a murder that is, or a dead body is discovered. It's all about sort of wealthy, privileged kids and Greek mythology and this charismatic professor. And I really got into that. And that led me not to reading about super rich kids or Greek mythology, but it led me. That was really the first book that I read that was set on a college campus as the sort of setting of the novel.
Yeah, you've said you love those books.
Yeah, so that's what led me to reading all of these academic novels, whether it's some of the classic ones, or I think about like Francine Prose's Blue Angel, or Leah Bardo's more recent one was called The Ninth House or The Ninth Gate. No, that's different. The Ninth House, I think. Anyways, reading The Secret History like lit this fire in me. And I would probably say I spent 2 or 3 years mostly reading academic novels, often kind of dark and twisty,
nice,
satirical too.
So you don't like reading boring academic tomes. You like reading novels about the salacious murder that happens in the office next to the professor who's writing the boring academic
Correct.
Tome.
Correct.
Gotcha.
You got it.
Done.
Boom.
All right. I always seize any opportunity to recommend Fun Home by Alison Bechdel. I've already gone on about why I love that book so much and why it is my favorite or one of my two favorites. The other one is Catch-22. I'll go back and forth on which one's my actual favorite. But one of the reasons I love that book so much, Fun Home, is because it's 7 chapters and almost every single chapter, what she is writing and like the part of her life that she's telling corresponds to some book or other. So there's an entire chapter that revolves around Proust. There's an entire chapter that revolves around Ulysses. There's an entire chapter that involves around Oscar Wilde's importance of being earnest because her mom's in that play. There's one panel that talks about And the Band Played On by Randy Schultz. And I have since gone on and read And the Band Played On because of this book. I read Ulysses because of this book. I tried to read Proust because of this book. I failed, but that's okay.
You could read Ulysses, but not Proust?
Ulysses is weirdly way shorter.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because Proust is 6 volumes.
That's
yeah.
Right, that's
if
right.
You're reading Proust, you're in it to win it.
That's right.
Ulysses, you can actually get through in less time. I read Importance of Being Earnest because of this book. So Fun Home opened the door for me to a whole
I
bunch
love
of other
that.
Works.
That's
yeah.
really cool. Okay. So the other Donna Tartt book that I want to talk about.
T-A-R-T-E, is that?
T-A-R-T-T.
T-T, that's right.
And she's this very enigmatic Southern author. She's only written like 4 books or something. Huge cult following. And this one was interesting because this one was, people had strong feelings on both sides of the next book, which is The Goldfinch.
Mm-hmm.
I loved this book. I
is that the one that got turned into the terrible movie?
So yes, and I okay. love the book so much that I refused to even see
the
movie.
Don't even bother, yeah.
And then a lot of people did not love this book. And oftentimes her books are also long. Okay. Mm-hmm. But part of this book, the opening really hinges on this art theft, right? Mm-hmm. This famous painting of this Goldfinch. And so this book led to my obsession for a number of years afterwards with reading about art theft.
Oh, nice.
And so I went on a jag of reading books all about art theft. And one of my favorite ones is, and I had visited this museum, but I didn't know the history of it, is the Gardner heist, which is the famous theft of the paintings at the Gardner Museum, still unsolved to this day. That was a great one. And then I also read, there was a book called Stealing Rembrandts, which was a whole, like, each chapter is a different, like, famous art heist. I could go on and on and on, but The Goldfinch led me to nonfiction books about art theft.
I got one more.
Okay.
I cannot let this topic go without mentioning Matilda by Roald Dahl. Because do you remember early on in the book when she like goes to the library and gets super into reading, and then the librarian is like, oh, I've got these for you. And then she makes a list and Roald Dahl like prints the list of all of these books, like Old Man and the Sea and Jane Eyre and like all of these classic 19th, early 20th century novels that Matilda just like plows through. But then it gives you this amazing reading list of like 25 different novels that you can go through.
That's what we do. We make lists of books for people to read. It's a skill and an art.
That's true.
There you have it.
And you can do it at the library. Hey, ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org is the website. Go there and find out more. ChapelHillArts.org for arts and culture. Susan Brown, that's Talking Books. Thank you so much.
Thank you.